reading first of all in chapter 8 of this Gospel. And while I will not have time to deal with these three very simple questions, I'd like to read them to you. First of all, in verse 12, "Then said they unto him, Where is he?" That's a very simple yet very penetrating question. Where is he? He said, "I know not." Of course, the question is related to our Lord Jesus. Now, verse 26. "Then said they to him again, What did he?" Now, that's a very important question as well. What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? Now, the verse that is before me is verse 36. "He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe?" If I said John 8, I should have said John 9. I'm sorry. John 9, verse number 12, and verse number 26, and verse number 36. We'll read the verse 36 again. "He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" Now, I'd like you to look at chapter 10 and verse 9. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture." With this reading of the Word of God, we trust the Lord will bless it to every heart in our gospel meeting. These three questions that form a very real part in chapter 9 and a very real place in the conversion, in the blessing that was brought to the blind man, have impressed my soul throughout the day. We would love to have time to answer these questions as presented by the gospel from which we have read. For the gospel in itself, that is the gospel of John, being self-contained, is able, well able, to answer these questions. What did he to thee? And what a joy it would be to go through the gospel to see just what the Savior did to the perishing souls of men with whom he has had many an interview and many a contact in the record of this wondrous gospel. And then to ask the question, where is he? And to find the answer as it is presented in this gospel would indeed be very precious and very, very profitable. But I want tonight to concentrate my thoughts and yours on this simple question that was asked by the blind man. As the glory and as the greatness and as the grandeur of the person that has brought him such blessing is beginning to dawn upon his heart and his mind and his very being, the Lord is now in the process of opening not so much the eyes that were blind, but now the eyes of his heart. And he's showing himself, revealing himself to this man to whom he has brought such a physical blessing. And as the Lord Jesus speaks to this man, the man asks the question, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" You know, I would give anything I had if only I knew there was one soul in this meeting using those words in reality from the heart just now. Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him. Is it possible there is an inquiring soul in the meeting? Is it possible there is one that is longing to know in experimental fullness who he is, that they might believe on him? Not to know just for knowing's sake, for I think it has been presented nightly that just to know and to know about him stops far short of what is needed as far as your eternal and personal salvation is concerned. So the knowledge brought and the knowledge given and the truth revealed concerning this blessed one is, dear friend, that you might believe on him. Who is he? Now, I would love again to start with the gospel and ask the many whose names and whose forms appear from the very first chapter to the very last of this gospel, and ask them each one how they would answer the question were they faced with the inquiry at this moment of time. Man, I tell you, friend, if you were asking John the Baptist, who is he? What would he say in this gospel meeting? Would he not say what he said yon day when he saw him walk on the banks of the Jordan? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's telling you who he is. If we were to ask those men that came out after being testified to by the woman of Samaria, ask those men, who is he? May I tell you, friend, with one voice, those men would cry, he's the Savior of the world. That's who he is, the Savior of the world. And you know, each of these answers, as given to us by these people of whom we ask the question, these answers, friend, if you would accept them, if you would believe them, if only, friend, you would allow the Spirit of God to open your eyes to the glory of them, I believe you would leave the meeting believing on him as your Savior. No one can put away your sin but the Lamb of God who shed his blood at Calvary. And no one can save your soul from the bondage and the bitterness and the blasting judgment of sin but the Savior of the world. No one else. And that's who he is. Identifiable by the language that John presents from the first of his gospel right to the very close. But I'm not going to do that tonight. What I want to do in the few moments that are at my disposal, friend, if you allow me to visualize it like this. Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Well now, wouldn't it be good just to ask the person himself? It is good to ask others that knew him, as we might do in this gospel and as I've done on those two occasions already given. But you know, sinner friend, I just want to ask the Lord Jesus. I just want you to listen. Supposing we asked him and presented as this man did the question as to who he is that he might believe on him. I want you to hear what the Savior would say. And I've read this lovely verse because we wouldn't be able to cover them all as they are so great and so glorious. We wouldn't be able to cover them all, but listen to what he would say if he were asked who he is as far as sinners are concerned. As far as your need is concerned, dear friend, what would he say? He would use simple words. He would use words that would go right to your very soul. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You couldn't wish for more simple words than that. Isn't that what you need? What do you mean, is that what you need? I want to tell you, friend, if you don't realize your danger tonight as you sit in this gospel meeting, it'll not be long until you'll be in hell forever. Now get it clear. For men can sit unconcerned, and women can sit indifferently, and they can sit through the gospel meetings and face preaching, however simple, however solemn, however searching, however severe, and never think of their danger before God. Never think of their danger with death on their track. And never think, dear friend, of their danger as having to give account to God for a life of sin that will end in eternal judgment. What do you mean, my danger? Well, isn't that the context of those words? Isn't it? Isn't the Lord speaking about sheep? Isn't the Lord speaking about the wolf? Isn't the Lord speaking about the thief? And doesn't he visualize the shepherd putting the sheep in the safety of the fold? That through the dark night, they might be preserved from the danger of the night. And as he looks at that situation, and as he presents it in this gospel, he tells them, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now friend, God has provided a salvation that will save you from dangers you know very little about. But it has been our responsibility, and I trust we have put it simply and lovingly and compassionately to you. You're in danger of dying in your sin. You're in danger of hellfire. You're in danger, dear friend, of being lost in the lake of fire forever under the consuming judgment of a sin-hating and a sin-judging God. And you're in danger of being ensnared in worldly things that will push you past the door of heaven until at last you're lost forever. You're in danger, friend, of being ensnared by a cruel fool that is only deceiving you, deluding you, that he might ultimately damn you where he'll be forever. And you're in danger. And you know, friend, what you need to do tonight is to have your eye open to see that the Lord sees the danger as he always did and as he always does. And he says, look, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall be saved. And those dangers that are real, and those dangers that should be uppermost, my dear friend, in your mind and in your heart's concern tonight, will have gone forever the moment you enter through the living door. When the Lord Jesus says, I am the door, he's making a claim that cannot be disputed. Now get that in your soul tonight. No matter what people say, no matter what they think, no matter what they do, here is a claim that stands as supreme as the person that makes it. And he says, I am the door. What does that mean, friend? He's the only door. The only door. We know, as you know, many people have the argument, there are many ways to heaven. You go your way, I'll go my way, but you'll find out that we'll all reach the same place at the end. Now that would be utter confusion in the hearts of men. If that were the revelation of God to your soul, friend, it just is not true, and it would not work. For we have quoted verses, my brother and I, night after night, that remove such a confusion surely from your mind. And when the Lord Jesus says, I am the door, I want you to grasp the simple, glorious gospel feature that he's the only door. Is that what Peter reiterated? Neither is there salvation in any other. He's turning them away from every avenue along which their minds might travel and their hearts may go. And he's directing them to one person, to one name, to one only means of salvation, as he did in Acts chapter 10, as we saw last night. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive the remission of sins. He's the only door. And I want to tell you with all my breath tonight, friend, he's the open door. The open door. That's glorious. That's of moment to my soul tonight. Because, listen, I looked at the hymn today. I don't know whether you know it or not. The last verse of a hymn in your hymn book. Ere night, that gate may close and seal your doom. Then the last low long cry, no room, no room. And while at almost 8 o'clock on the wall, friend, the door is opened, it may be before the midnight hour is struck, it'll be closed eternally. And you'll be left outside and lost forever and ever. He's the open door. Whenever John got that in his soul, he tells us plainly, for he was there to see. He says the soldier took his spear and he pierced his side. And forthwith there came blood and water. Opened at Calvary. Oh, see that riven side. See, friend, how that door was opened wide for me. The shedding of that precious blood. Oh, and its acceptance to God. To make atonement for the soul, as God would say in his word. Satisfying every claim of God's righteous demands. I'm gloriously meeting my every need, for he paid a price I could never pay. He did a work that I could never do. And do you know, dear friend, tonight he's the open door. Opened at Calvary, sacrificially. I would say opened on the day of Pentecost, dispensationally, what to do? To let those 3,000 souls that believe the gospel to enter freely through the open door. Thank God for that. And I want to tell you, friend, 51 years ago, opened personally for me. I entered him. I know who he is. He's the door in my danger. A claim which cannot be disputed. Isn't it lovely to see, friend, that he makes a condition, a very, very simple condition, a condition, dear friend, that no one can disregard. Oh, I know that he says, when he speaks about this night and these enemies, that there are those that climb up some other way. The same as a thief and a robber. But you know, when the Lord is coming near to the soul in danger, he makes it exceedingly simple. And what does he say? He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in. I make no apology for the simplicity of those words. Can you see Noah standing yonder outside the ark that he had made? And as you know, in the very man's soul is a sense of approaching doom. He has been warned of God of things not seen as yet.
He knows that soon the judgment of God is going to descend upon the scene of ungodliness. And he sees an open door.
And he hears an appealing voice. Come, thou, and all thy house, into the ark.
There was a moment, friend, when Noah stood outside.
And there was a moment when he was in the safety, in the shelter, in the security of the ark, and the Lord closed the door. Isn't that lovely?
He didn't say, Lord, I made this ark. Is that not good enough?
No.
He didn't halt between two opinions and start to remonstrate as to the simplicity of the invitation, or as to the reality of God's voice. The man was gripped
by the approaching doom. And when he heard the invitation, friend, he took a step and he was in. And the door was shut. Would you get that word entered tonight? That's what he did. I know, friend, as you sit in this gospel meeting tonight, it's a simple thing to say John 10 and 9 again and again. And I have absolute sympathy on this point. The Lord is looking at himself and he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in. And surely, friend, the simplicity can reach the heart of a child in the gospel meeting. Can't it? But listen to him again. Got the same door in mind. But he's looking at it from a different side. And what does he say? I want to tell you, man, I want to tell you, woman, he says to you tonight, strive to enter in. Strive to enter in. If you're not an earnest friend, you'll die on the threshold of God's salvation. You'll be lost forever.
And as I told you the other evening, there was a man stood on the threshold of the home and heard the dancing and heard the music and felt the appealing hand of his father as around the waist as he said, come in.
And he wouldn't. He wouldn't.
One step would have brought him in.
So the Savior says, strive to enter in. Why? Listen, friend, between you and that living door tonight is enough to damn your soul in hell. Got it? There's a cruel devil. There's a subtle flesh. There's an appealing world. And I want to tell you, friend, you'll have to agonize to get past it all. Get in. Why? When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, all hope is gone. You'll notice that he said, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. A salvation, a confidence that cannot be denied. Wish you had that tonight, friend. If I asked you at the door as you left the building, I don't do it, but if I did, if I asked you, are you saved? Don't tell me you think you are.
Don't tell me you hope you are.
I'd love you to tell me, safe in the Lord without a doubt, by virtue of the blood, for nothing can destroy the heart, the life that's hid with Christ in God. That's where the soul is that enters in. He shall be saved. No doubt. Absolutely no fear.
A confidence that no one in heaven or on earth or in hell
could deny. A simple soul trusting the Lord Jesus, entering in through the living open door, is safe and secure. Will you enter in tonight? In your danger, he's the door. Enter now and you'll be saved.